just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Oh yes, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. I can feel it in my hands, feel it in my feet, feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Yes, I can feel it in my head, feel it in my feet, feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Oh yes, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Yes, I can feel it in my head, feel it in my feet, feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Yes, I can feel it in my head, feel it in my feet, feel it in my heart. I feel it all over me. Oh, can you feel it in your head, feel it in your feet, feel it in your heart? I feel it all over me. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Oh, yes, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Oh, hallelujah. Can you praise him tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh yes, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh yes, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, I have been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Yes, I have been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, I have been loosed, I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, yes, I
feel the joy of the Lord falling. Fresh on me, I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. Feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh yes, I have been loose, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Yes, I have been loose, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord liberating me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the change in your life? Oh, can we praise Him? Well, I cannot explain what happened to me. I can only say I'm not the man I used to be. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. There's a brand new man now walking in my shoes. What a change.
What a change.
What a change.
What a change.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a
change. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, I cannot explain what happened to me. I can only say I'm not the man I used to be. All things passed away. Behold, all things are new. There's a brand new man now walking in my shoes. What a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, I don't go to places I used to go before. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. I've become acquainted with a family of friends. There's been a lot of changes since I've been born again. What a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh,
hallelujah.
I'm not the same.
It's different now.
Since Jesus came. Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
No,
we don't go to places we used to go before. The things we used to say, we don't say them anymore. Because we become acquainted with the family of friends. Been a lot of changes since we've been born again. What a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a change.
What a change.
I wanted to remind you, lest you should forget, that there's a change coming that hasn't happened yet. It'll take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Our bodies will be changed, and to heaven we will fly. What a change.
What a change.
What a change.
What a
change. Oh, hallelujah.
We're
not the same.
Not the same.
It's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
I wanted to remind you, lest you should forget, there's a change coming that hasn't happened yet. It'll take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Our bodies will be changed. And the heaven we will fly. What a change. What a change. Oh, hallelujah. We're not the same. Well, it's different now. Since Jesus came. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a change. Yes, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, hallelujah. We're not the same. It's different now. Since Jesus came. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a change. Yes, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, hallelujah. We're not the same. But it's different now. Since Jesus came. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a change. No, we don't go to places we used to go before. The things we used to say, we don't say them anymore. We become acquainted with a family of friends. There's been a lot of changes since we've been born again. What a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
But
it's different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, what a change.
What a change.
What a change.
What a change. Hallelujah.
Not the same.
Not the same.
But different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Yes, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, what a change.
What a change.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're not the same.
Not the same.
But different now.
Different now.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a change.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, is anybody thankful for that change? Oh, are you thankful you're not where you used to be? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, is anybody thankful? Oh, is anybody really thankful tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Does anybody have a shout? Or does anybody have a dance?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. What kind of church is this? Amen. What kind of church is this? Amen. I hope you don't have your seatbelt on tonight. Amen. I want to move with the Holy Ghost. How about you? Or have you given Him your best praise? Have you truly given Him all your worship? Oh, come on, somebody worship Him. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. We've come to worship the Lord tonight. Somebody praise the Lord. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got to give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
I'm not satisfied tonight.
The highest
praise. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His holy name. Come on and give the Lord
the highest praise.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I've got to give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, I've got to give the Lord the highest praise. Oh, hallelujah, oh, praise His holy name. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. I've got to give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, give the Lord the highest praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise
His holy name.
Oh, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, think of His goodness and how He set me free. I'm gonna praise His name all night, oh, all night. Oh, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, oh, and how He set me free, I'm gonna praise His name. Oh, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, and how He set me free, I'm gonna dance
all night.
Oh, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm gonna dance all night. Oh, when I think of His goodness, what He's done for me, when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free,
I'm gonna leap for joy
all night.
Oh, when I think of His goodness,
what He's done for me,
yes, when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free,
I'm gonna shout
for joy
all night. Yes, all night. Well, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm gonna run yes,
all night.
When I think of His goodness,
what He's done for me,
well, when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free,
I'm gonna shout
for joy
all night. Oh, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free, I'm gonna praise His name
all night. When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness,
how He set me free,
I'm gonna dance
for joy all night.
Yes, I've got to praise. I've got to praise and I got to get it out. Oh, I've got to praise. Yes, I've got to praise. I've got to praise and I got to get it out. Oh,
I've got to praise.
Well, if you've been through what I've been through, oh, you would be praising too. If you've been through what I've been through,
you would be
praising too. If you've been through what I've been through,
you would be
praising too
all night.
Yes, all night. I've got to praise
all night.
Yes, all night. Yes, I've got to praise. I've got to praise and I got to get it out. Yes, I got to praise. Yes, I've got to praise. I've got to praise and I got to get it out.
I got to praise.
Cause when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm going to praise His name
all night.
When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm gonna praise His name
all night.
When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm gonna shout for joy all night. Oh, when I think of His goodness, what He's done for me,
when I think of His goodness, how He set me free,
I'm gonna shout
for joy.
It's all night. Oh, when I think of His goodness, what He's done for me, when I think of His goodness,
me free.
I'm gonna dance, 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 dance for joy
all night.
Oh, all night. Oh, when I think of his goodness and what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
I'm gonna dance, dance, dance,
dance
for joy
all night. All night.
Oh, when I think of his goodness, what he's done for me. When I think
of his goodness, how he set me free.
I'm gonna leap,
leap,
leap, leap for joy
all night. All night.
Yes, when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
Oh, when I think of his goodness,
how he set me free.
I'm gonna leap,
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 leap, leap for joy all night.
All night. Cause if you've been through what I've been through, you would be praising too. If you've been through what I've been through, you would be praising too. If you've been through what I've been through,
you would be
praising too
all night.
Yes, all night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
I've got to praise. Yes, all night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
All night. Because when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
Praise, praise, praise,
praise, praise.
It's all night.
All night.
When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
I'm gonna praise,
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 praise
his name.
All night.
All night. When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
I'm gonna praise,
praise,
praise his name.
All night, all night.
When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me. When I think of his goodness, how he set me free.
I'm gonna shout,
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 shout for joy all night, all night.
Yes, when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness, how he set me free. I'm gonna shout,
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 shout
for joy all night, all night. Yes, when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness, how he set me free. I'm gonna dance,
dance,
dance for joy all night, all night. When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness, how he set me free. I'm gonna shout,
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 shout for joy all night, all night. Yes, when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness, how he set me free. I'm gonna praise,
praise,
praise his name all night. If you've been through
what I've been through,
you would be praising too. If you've been through
what I've been through,
you would be praising too.
If you've been through
what I've been through,
you would be praising too.
All night,
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 all night.
All night,
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 all night.
Yes, if you've been through
what I've been through,
you would be praising too.
If you've been through
what I've been through,
you would be praising too
all night.
Oh, all night.
All night,
yes, all night.
All night.
All night,
all night.
And when I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness,
how he set me free.
I'm gonna praise,
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 praise his name
all night,
all night.
When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness,
how he set me free.
I'm gonna shout,
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 shout
for joy all night,
all night.
When I think of his goodness,
what he's done for me.
When I think of his goodness,
how he set me free.
I'm gonna leap,
Lord all night, all night. I'm gonna give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm gonna give the Lord my highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord your highest praise. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I'm gonna give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm gonna give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on and give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name.
Oh, once again, can you lift your hands? Can you lift your voice? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we've come to praise you tonight. Lord, we've come to lift you up and to magnify your great name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Can somebody shout that great name? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that He's here tonight? Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Where would the church be without the church? Amen. We're glad to see everybody here in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. But most importantly, I'm glad that the Lord is here. Amen. And that I can feel Him. Amen. 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 We do want to go to the Lord here tonight on behalf of our offering. And also, we would like to pray for Anthony Garcia. He is going to be going in for a procedure tomorrow with his port. They will be putting it back in. And what a mess this has been. And we want to pray for him. Amen. God can do a work. Amen. Guide the hands of these doctors and let it be taken care of. And most importantly, God, touch his heart. Amen. It's all well and great to have a good physical body. Amen. But if you're lost, amen. So let's pray, God, get a hold of his heart. He knows where he belongs. Amen. Touch him both physically and spiritually. We do want to pray for Nicole Avila here tonight for salvation and a special need. God knows the need here tonight. If you have a need, why don't you just raise your hand, wave a hand. Amen. God knows your need. Amen. God's concerned, amen, about you and your need here tonight. Let's pray for the remaining part of this service as the word will go forth. Amen. Together, can we lift our voices? Savior, we come before you. We love you, God. We're so thankful and grateful, God, that we can feel you here tonight. Lord, we know that you're not finished yet, but God, in anticipation and hunger and desire, Lord, here we are ready to hear from you. I pray, Lord, for every uplifted hand, every need, God, that through your word tonight that you will speak to hearts and needs that are in this house. Lord, we want your will to be done more than anything else. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be accomplished. Lord, you know those that are sick in body. It's by your stripes that we are healed. I pray here tonight, do that work that you so desperately want to do. I pray, Lord, bless this offering. Bless the giver tonight. Lord and Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen. Let's give and worship here tonight.
It's only a matter of time.
seen is coming my way. It's only a matter of time till His purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time. Our blessing is coming our way. It's only a matter of time till His purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time. Not waiting for a miracle. I'm waiting for a miracle. I'm waiting for a miracle. Soon I'll be overtaken by a blessing. I'm waiting for a miracle. I'm waiting for a miracle. I'm waiting for a miracle. Soon I'll be overtaken by a blessing. Your blessing is coming your way. It's only a matter of time. Purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time. Your blessing is coming your way. It's only a matter of time. Till His purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time. Are you waiting for a miracle? Are you waiting for a miracle? Are you waiting for a miracle? Soon you'll be overtaken by a blessing, yes. Are you waiting for a miracle? Are you waiting for a miracle? Are you waiting for a miracle? Soon you'll be overtaken by a blessing. Our blessing is coming our way. It's only a matter of time till His purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time. Our blessing is coming our way. It's only a matter of time till His purpose comes to pass. It's only a matter of time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Has anybody been blessed? Has anybody been blessed? I'm here. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. You're blessed. You're in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of places that you could have been. Some of you should be in prison, dead, in a mental institution. Amen. But thank God we're here in our right mind. Amen. God has been good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Why don't you look to the one next to you and tell them how happy you are that they are here. Amen. Again, it is so good to have Brother and Sister Kelly with us and their kids, their family. Amen. It's an honor for them to be here. Also, we're so excited to have Brother Saylor with us here. We all know him and love and respect him. Amen. We're glad he's here, and we're going to have him come and greet the congregation in Jesus' name. We love you, Brother Saylor.
Yes, sir. kidney, as my sister would say. He's just in a real, he doesn't have a low immune system. He has no immune system. He's like a puppy. He's got to get his shots, and he can't get them yet. So we really have to be very, very careful as far as what we do and where we go. So I wanted to come. I wanted to come tonight just to express this. This is a big, giant, huge deal. 30 years. 30 years. In a place. 30 years. That really says something. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that I've been around two-thirds out of those 30 years. Now, my Indiana University math tells me that two-thirds would be 20. I don't know what yours would be, but I think that's what two-thirds of 30 is. I think it's 20. But it has. I'm excited about what it is that God is doing. 20 years ago when I came, 20 years ago, it's just kind of funny how the worm turns. I came 20 years ago by myself, and here I am tonight by myself. Josh, shot immune system. My wife just not feeling well. Mallory has done deserted us. She's gone AWOL to Arizona. But it used to be, you had to be skinny to worship in this church. Back in the old building. It was, come on, now some of you remember that, right? I mean, there were chairs all over the altar. There were chairs in the foyer. Dr. Seuss should have written a book. Here a chair, there a chair, everywhere a chair. Because all there was, you had to have been like Brother Carrillo back there. You had to have been, that was all there was room. But there were people that would worship. And there was no air conditioning. There were just swamp coolers. I mean, do you remember? Man. No air conditioning, swamp coolers, and boy, did we have church. And now you could be pretty wide. And this church is built for comfort. It's not built for speed. But what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building that this is. Isn't God good? This is nothing more than a testimony to a family that stayed for 30 years and faithful saints of God that stayed with and rolled it up. And where's that church? Here it is. Here it is. God had this prepared. And this church is a blessing to us in Kalinga. I had a guy, Brother John Carrillo knows who it was, but you don't need to know. Went up to him and said, "Hey, what do you think? What do you think? I'd like to apply to be a correctional officer. And what do you think about that?" And Brother John Carrillo said, "What, do you want to go to hell?" No. Well, then I guess you don't want to be a CO. I hope there's no COs here. I'm in bad shape. But this is a church that has everything going on. And the last The last two years, our family has gone through a whole lot. You know, right before COVID, Josh falling through that roof. There's a lot about that day. There's a lot about that day that I don't remember. I really don't. It was like I was in a fog. But one thing I do remember is Pastor Hale, Sister Hale, and Sister Lou were standing. I remember them being there, and I remember how cold it was. That's just a testimony of this good family. I wanted to say this to the church. Why? Because this is just us tonight. Over the weekend and in the next several services, there is going to be people here from all over the place. I wouldn't have felt that kind of a liberty to say anything like that, but it's good. It is good. I thank God for this building. I really do. This is an answer. This is hard work. And to anybody that says that it's easy living for God, they really ain't living for God. Now, we don't have to make it as hard as it is. We can make it pretty much easy, a whole lot easier. But we are living in a rough day. I mean, man, Superman had a bad week this week. That's all I can say. Sorry. Remember the time I was preaching, and I preached that message on the ironing board, all those months that I was traveling by myself and I didn't know how to use that ironing board, and I finally realized how it worked. And then Sister Hale said, "Brother Saylor, I'll iron your shirts if you want." I thought, am I doing that bad? But we have been praying. We've been praying for you all through the COVID scare. Boy, who would have ever thought that when we saw Pastor and Sister Hale there a few days before everything got shut down, that it would have been 18 months, 17 months before we would have seen each other again. You know, you just don't ever know. You just don't ever know what it is. But I want to make sure that the Hale family knows how much our family loves and appreciates them and everything that they have done. There have been times recently that I felt like, you know what, I just want to, it would just be a whole lot easier to just walk away. Not walk away from God, but the pressures of pastoring and everything else. And I have thought of Pastor Hale and just grinding it out and staying and sticking it out. And there is a beautiful church that is here. People that the greatest thing in 20 years being affiliated with you all is I've seen how much I would hope that we've all grown in God. And I look and I see a lot of gray hair. We're growing old together. We're living for God together. We're riding the river together. So many things. Nobody is an island unto themselves. And we need each other in this day that we are living in. And so I wanted to let the Hales know how much we love them. And I wanted this church to know how very much we love you and how very much we look up to you. And And I talk about the church in Portland a lot and tell people, you know what? The only way, the words can't explain what it is. You just have to go. When you go, you feel the power of God. You feel the presence of God and the worship of God and the way that things. I look at the men in our church and I would love to see them be molded more and shaped more into the men that are here. And God's doing it. It's just taken longer than I thought. But you know what? It's okay. God's good. Elder, I love you very much. I love you very much. I'm sorry that I took so much time. But you know what? This is a big deal. 30 years is a big, big deal. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. This morning I preached, I was talking about the book of Ezra where they were standing on the foundation of the second temple. And the Bible says that there were ancient men that were there when the first temple was built and destroyed. They saw it in its glory. They saw it in its beauty. They saw it in its splendor. And there they are standing on the foundation of the one that is going to be erected. And the Bible said that the old men wept. The old men wept when they were standing there. But then there were some that were shouting. And you know, as this church fills and as God gives the increase, there's going to be some of you that have been here from the beginning. When you're seeing everything happen, you're going to be weeping and you're just going to be thanking God. You know, we're just so thankful for what it is you're doing. They don't know. Those that are going to come in with the shouting. You need shouters, you need weepers. And when you're weeping, you can't forget to shout. But the bottom line is, they're going to know. They're going to know there was a sacrifice that was made. There was a sacrifice that was made by a family, and there was a sacrifice that was made by a church. And that's why they're able to shout. That's why they're able to shout. That's why they're able to be liberated, delivered, and made free. Because there is not a good church here. There's a great church here. I don't mean to be unkind and I don't mean to be unfriendly. But this is the only game going in town. This is it. This is that. If Peter, James, and John were coming to church, this is where they would come. This is the apostolic church in town that they would come to. Thank you. For walking in the old path and continuing in the old path. It's still there. It's still the greatest way. May God richly bless you. Thank you.
Amen. And I'll just say, since I have the mic now, unless I get my coattail pulled. Elder, I love you. Thank you. There's been a lot of men in my life. I have a pastor, but I also have those that I look up to. And love and respect, and I do want to say thank you for coming. It means a lot to me on behalf of my dad. And that might just be a preacher's son thing. You may not understand that, but to me, it does something to me. And I want to thank you for coming and expressing your love. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. We're a family. And again, thank you for coming. And continue to pray for the Saylor family. Amen. 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 We love and honor them and respect them. And they're a part of us. They may not be here in Corcoran, but they're an extension. They're part of us. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. Amen. Let's not forget Monday night at this time. If the youth choir can come and get ready to sing. But Monday night, tomorrow night, there will be no called prayer for those that are still, and for the rest of you, you may be seated. For the rest of those that are still working on different things, please let's not forget. But tomorrow night, no called prayer. It's still going to be busy time. Whatever you're a part of, whatever you're involved with, please let's not forget. Everybody say amen. 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 Wednesday night, there will be choir practice at 7 o'clock. All the choirs say 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Amen. Then Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., it all begins our anniversary services. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Friday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday, it will be at 1 o'clock. Everybody say 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Saturday at 1 o'clock. Then Sunday morning will be at 10 o'clock. Sunday evening at 5:30. Is anybody ready for what's going to happen around here? Amen. Amen. I'm excited. I'm anticipating. Amen. Let's extend invitations. I know this is for the church, but there's a lot of people that have been saying that they're going to come. Amen. So we have time. Let's go out. Let's extend that invitation. Remind them, hey, you said you were going to come. You promised you were going to come. Let's fill the house. While we're celebrating, that's what this is. We're going to be celebrating. Amen. But not just 30 years and 70 years, but somebody can celebrate because God can do something in their lives in the midst of these services. Amen. Does anybody believe it? Amen. Amen. At this time, if you would worship with the youth choir as they sing.
Don't.
Come in, Jesus.
want to thank for you know that awesome God's name. It's the name of Jesus. Demons tremble. The name of Jesus, miracles happen. It's in the name of Jesus that deliverance comes. It's in Jesus' name that the healing takes place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Are you thankful you know his name? What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? There's no other name like Jesus. Amen. He calms the storms. He calms chaotic seasons in life. Amen. That is the God that you serve. Amen. You may be seated. And I do want to say I'm thankful, amen, for Pastor Saylor, amen, taking time out of his busy schedule and coming to be with us on a Sunday night. Amen. He was up here addressing you as a congregation, and my mind just started reminiscing. I remember the first time I met Pastor Saylor was on the telephone. We was in the state of Indiana in a snowstorm. I think it was one of the worst snowstorms Indiana had. I remember my wife and I, we were standing at a preacher's front window, a big picture window, and we were watching that pastor's father with his little small snowblower. He was blowing the snow from his yard, and he started out on the sidewalk, and then he went out to the street. He was blowing all the snow into the street, and it wasn't long. While he was looking at what he had done, and we're watching, and then he felt like there's a little more he need. All of a sudden, coming around the corner was the big city snow plow, and all of a sudden here comes that snow plow, and this was Elder O'Tonnell's father. And here come that big city snow plow. And it was literally taking the snow out of the street and piling it on the sidewalk in the house's front yard. And I remember we're standing there. We're watching this through this big picture window. And all of a sudden, Brother O'Tonnell's father he runs up at hit the corner of his yard. He puts his hands up like this. He's telling that snowblower that you ain't coming this far. Look at all this work that I've done. You're not going to. And I remember the snow guy. He told me, move out of the way. He says, I've got a job to do. He says, I just cleared my path and the sidewalk. He says, and of course, he used some other kind words. And yeah. And needless to say, the big snowblower won out. And all of that hard work went right back on his yard and his sidewalk. Amen. And then it was during that time we got introduced to Pastor Saylor. We were supposed to have met, but the snows, it was a massive snowstorm. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to fly out when we were going to leave, but we connected through the phone, and I gave him an invitation to come to California. He was starting to evangelize, and he had told me that when he came out, he would love to be able to get together. And so to make a long story short, we were at camp meeting, and during camp meeting, Pastor Saylor showed up. He didn't call me. He just showed up.
And I told him, I remember telling him, I asked you to call me, let me know when you're coming, but here you are. And as he said, he was by himself. He left his family all in Indiana, and he was coming across. I think he had been to Texas, Louisiana, preaching some revivals, and he decided to come to California. And as a pastor in California, California is possibly the hardest state for an evangelist to even get started in. And I know a lot of evangelists that they were here and they were gone as quick as they got here, because they always said it was hard for them to break in to the state of California. But Brother Saylor came and never left. I was able to introduce him to several pastors, and they so graciously used him, and his revivals just kept going on. How many remember the revival we had with Pastor and Sister Saylor? I think it was 6 months. We were in revival for 6 months. Amen. You don't hear of that very often anymore. A lot of churches, they just have revival on Wednesdays and Sundays, and that's it. And how in the world do you have revival just on Wednesdays and Sundays? And a lot of these churches just have one service on Sundays. Amen. I just couldn't operate. Amen. I remember talking to one pastor, and he told me, oh, this is what we're thinking about doing. I said, you're really thinking about having one service? I said, hey, there's a problem with that. I said, we need more church, not less church. In the day and age that we're living in, we need more church. Amen. I'm telling you what, I've dealt with too many carnal people to say that we need less church. Amen. That's important, to be in the house of God. Amen. And boy, we had a great revival with Pastor Saylor and his wife and their kids. And this was many moons ago. He was an evangelist, and he's been in Kalinga now for, I was going to say 18, but 17 years, and doing a great job. And I know every pastor, we all want to do better. Amen. And I want our church to exceed. I want it to grow. And I want there to be not only revival, but I want there to be evangelism. Amen. That's why we are constantly saying invite, invite, invite. Amen. We got to keep inviting. We got to keep inviting. We got to keep inviting. Praise God. Amen. You got to remember, there was a time when you were not in the church, but somebody invited you, and you came, and God did the work. And now we got to go back and invite, 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 invite. We got a church to fill. Amen. I remember years ago in the West facility, I used to say I hated the color orange or rust, whatever the pews were. I hated the color. The reason why I hated the color of those pews was because it wasn't so much the pews' fault. It was just lacking some warm bodies sitting in them. And we filled up those pews, and we had to pull those pews out, put pew chairs in so it would give us more room. And I remember, amen, you brought back a lot of memories. I remember having to put chairs out around the altar in the foyer and in the side room. And amen. It wasn't for revival. It was just for regular church services. And we filled that building, and now God blessed us with this building. Amen. And we don't want to take God's blessing for granted, but we want to fill it up. I said, we want to fill it up. We want to fill it up. Amen. And I have already told this church, God's already talked to me about the future, and we're working on getting all this property around us. And when we do, God's already given me the plans for the new facility. And my goodness, I'm excited. I really am. Amen. I'm not saying that lightly. Amen. But I'm saying that because I know when God talks to me. And it's just like this facility. We had for years on the back of the old building, we had plans for our new building. And when we first came in and we first saw this building and the way it was laid out, it was amazing how the building was laid out in my drawings. All they did here was just take what I had put around the building. They just put it all in one wing. And the offices were still right where I wanted them. And, of course, he added in a blessing to us. He gave us an upstairs for a boardroom and two offices upstairs. And I know most of us probably never go up there except for the all of the business, the leaders. They will go up there once a quarter. One day we're going to probably use it a lot more. But God has been good. Amen. And I think about where God's brought us. And Brother Sayer, you're talking about those swamp coolers. Man, we go way back with swamp coolers. Some of you don't even know what a swamp cooler is. But we had swamp coolers. And those swamp coolers, man, they have a story in themselves. Amen. We're in revival. You know, most of you do know. We were in revival with Brother Nathan Morton, and all of a sudden, right in the altar area on the boys' side, we got a waterfall in the church. How do you remember that? A waterfall in the church, yeah. And it was like, I'm sitting on the platform. I'm like, I can't believe this. And lo and behold, one of the men was trying to be so cordial to keep it cool for us, and he stuck a water hose into the water cooler up on the roof. But what he didn't realize what he had done is he stuck the water hose into the ducting, and it was just a waterfall. And my goodness, those old swamp coolers. Amen. I remember my doctor telling me we had a swamp cooler at home. But the doctor told us, he said, "You got a swamp cooler?" I said, "Yes." He said, You need to spend the money and get rid of that swamp cooler. That's why you've been so sick." He said, "That's the worst thing for anybody that's got any type of breathing allergies or asthma is a swamp cooler." He says, "Get rid of it." And we did. And we got rid of it and had to pay the bill for several months. But it was then right after that, we got rid of the church swamp coolers. Amen. I'm thinking, if this was causing me the problems that it was causing for my health, what's it doing for the church? And so we quickly got rid of our swamp coolers and put ACs in. And my goodness, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. Amen. The good old days. But I wouldn't go back to a swamp cooler. Amen. But there's a lot of prayer meetings that we had. There was a lot of, amen. I can remember all night prayer meetings that we had. And I remember the church coming together. And some of you still do. You come down off nights and you fill the house with prayer. And how many remember when we had to chase devils out? And we had a lady come to church that was a witch. And we know Corcoran's a witch coven. And she had come to church to cause us a lot of problems. And I knew who she was instantly. My wife met her first. I met her over the phone. I sent my wife to pick her up. And I remember my wife telling me about her, and I said, yeah, I know. And I remember one service, she looked at me. I went and greeted her, and she says, Pastor, she says, if you really knew. I said, I know who you are. And her look was like. And then the church, things, and you all know what happened. Things began to happen, and we were in spiritual warfare, and the church started rallying, started praying, and we drove that spirit out. Amen. My goodness, a lot of memories. People walking through our doors during a revival, walking down the center aisle, coming right to an altar, praying through and getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of memories. Yeah. Amen. I could go and tell a lot more, but for the sake of time, we won't. But Pastor Saylor has been a friend to us. Amen. He came to California and knew no one. Now he's pastoring here, as he said, 17 years. And I'm just thankful that the Lord blessed him to pastor a church near us. And I appreciate that. And through the years, we've done things together. We've had a lot of meals together. We as a church have been to Kalinga. They have been to Corcoran. And then all of a sudden, COVID hit. And like a lot of pastors I've talked to, a lot of their churches, they haven't done much of anything because of COVID. But that's just the season. But we can't allow it, as I've stated many times, to allow it to hinder us from having a move of God and the revival spirit and evangelism. Amen. We can't let it hinder us. But we're going to push through it. Amen. And we are going to be blessed. As I said here this morning, we planned this for a we don't have a solar microphone, so batteries die. I know I haven't been talking that long, but and as I mentioned here this morning, we've invited several to come and be with us, and several have told us they were coming, and so I'm going to ask the church tonight that I know we apostolics like to spread out. I'm not talking about table food, but we like to get comfortable. We may have to move in during these services to make room for people. And some of you, I know when the preaching starts, I know sometimes we're up front, amen, responding for the preaching. But I just ask us to kind of tighten in, and the ushers come and ask you to move over. Please don't look at them like, are you from Mars or what? This is where I always sit. Just quickly move in so we can make room for everybody. Amen. That will come. And maybe you need to fast for the next 3 days. That was tongue-in-cheek. But let's work together. That's especially for our guests, and our ushers are all in place, and the ushers that will be in the balcony, please be very observant of what's going on up there. And let's not, you know, I know how we can get so in tune to the service that we see something going, we don't see what's going on up there, and we got to be observant. We got to watch and be very quick to help people. Especially when it comes to, where's the restroom? Well, if you go out the doors and you go a mile south, and then, no, let's not do none of that. Let's be very helpful in letting them know where the restrooms are. And if the bathroom's here in the front, crowded. We do have the facilities down towards the annex, and if we just want to be accommodating to people. So let's be very helpful.
Amen.
And again, as I said here this morning, all of you are been given tasks to do this week. Please, let's be on time, and let's do what we've been asked to do. Let's be cordial. Let's be helpful. And I believe God will bless you in return for all of your good works. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And I'm going to allow Brother Hale to come back up here and do his thing. And then I'm just going to, Brother Hale, if you can just introduce once again Brother Kelly, he can come. But I'm thankful. Amen. For my friends. I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Kelly. Amen. All the children coming early. Amen. Being with us. And I feel like Brother Saylor, this is just us tonight. But Brother and Sister Kelly have become very close to our family. And I know they're more close to my kids than myself. We appreciate them.
Amen.
We really, really, really do. And they will come. And I know their kids, they're attached to my granddaughters more than they are to me. And as a grandfather, I appreciate these their children being friends with my grandkids. And it was very hard for us to contain them when they knew they were in Bakersfield. And they were coming. And two of my granddaughters were on the musical instruments. And when they said they are here, it was almost like they wanted to jump out of their seats there at the musical instruments and go running out to meet them like the rest of them did. And we had to calm them down. But as the minute that we took that break, because we did take a break, if you remember, for dinner, and they were up and out the door. And that just showed me how much they love and appreciate the Kelly kids. And you know what? We need to have good apostolic friends. Amen. We don't need worldly friends. We need good, strong apostolic friends. Amen. And so I do appreciate Brother and Sister Kelly for coming and being with us, especially prior to our services, but yet they are here for our 30th, and we appreciate them coming and being with us. Amen. Brother Hale, come on.
Yep, mine died too. We'll make sure you have some fresh batteries. Amen. It's a good life living for the Lord. Amen. Hey, going to church, you can cry, but you should be able to laugh. Because it's we serve a good God. Amen. I know a lot's been said, but again, I would like to say, we're happy to have the Kellys here with us, and amen. I would say that I'm thankful that I found a friend. He may not consider me a friend, but I consider him a friend. And I could say that I love and respect him, and I look up to him because he's a lot older than I am. He's not that much older than me. I'm just messing around. But over the years, getting to know him as a preacher's son, sometimes, and again, you may not know or understand what I mean, but being in the preacher's home and making friends and having relationships. Sometimes it's different. And growing up and then getting into the ministry, making those acquaintances and then developing those friendships, it means a lot to me. And I do want to say that I love and respect you and look up to you. And I've texted him off and on. Different things that's happened, especially we all know, pastor these last few years. Seems like it's one thing and then another thing. And I do want to say I'm thankful that I've been able to get in contact with him and talk to him. And he's been through more than I have because he's older than me. And no, but he has. He's went through things and his knowledge. He's a walking encyclopedia and he knows a lot. And so just being able to reach out to him and talk to him and just I'm thankful for him. And I'm glad that he's here in honor of my pastor and what we're celebrating here this upcoming week. But we're glad they're here. Are you glad they're here? Yeah. Amen. I know I've said that, but it's okay. Give honor where honor's due. I give honor to my elders. I give honor to my elder. I won't say he's older than me. He's a lot older than me. But growing up, hey, I can tell you stories. I could tell a lot of stories. I remember when talking about being in a revival with him, I remember Mallory in, you know, after we would go and we'd eat and fellowship, I remember Mallory running around our house with a tie on, and she would be preaching the word to us. And I know we're going to have a lot to say this week, but we have the church board of elders, and these are men, Brother Saylor, Brother Schweitzer, Brother Frazier. These are men that I look up to, and I love, and I respect. And so I may say I give honor to them, I love them, and but this is the time to do it for me. I know we're here celebrating my dad, but behind every good man, there is a circle of friends. And these are the ones that have been there with him. And to a preacher's kid, that means a lot to me. So you'll just have to bear them with me as many times as I say it, because I mean it from my heart. And they're here, and I want them to know that I love them, and I respect them. And I'm not just saying that to get a hand clap, but I really do mean that. Being, you know, the preacher's son here, seeing what my dad's went through, 30 years, there's a lot of things that have come and gone. And looking to my father, who's been like this. I know I'm supposed to be introducing the preacher, but my dad that's been like this, and then having those that were there with him during it all, no matter what it's been, 30 years is a long time. Needless to say, we're ready for the word. Are you ready for the word? Thank God for the word we heard this morning. Amen. But I'm ready for the word again here tonight. If that's your desire, why don't you stand one more time? And as Brother Kelly comes, I would ask him to go ahead and sing and play and no, whatever he feels to do, we want him to do it. Is that how you feel? Amen. Amen. As he comes, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. Lift your voice. Ask the Lord to talk to your heart. Amen. One more time.
Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands again to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Praise God. Amen. You can be seated. Lord bless you. I just want to say, for the sake of time, I reciprocate everything that's been said toward us. We feel the same way, and I can totally identify with what Brother Hale has said. And I do feel that he's my friend, and I don't feel like I'm qualified to receive everything he said about me. But here we are. We're all trying to get through life, aren't we? And I do. I thank God, same thing, for good friends. There is, I will say this, rightfully so, there is a little bit of a higher standard in a preacher's home, a pastor's home, that can be hard on kids. And that's why I think so many times that preacher's kids suffer with, struggle with bitterness or the feeling of injustice. And it's not talked about a lot, but it is something that they all have to deal with. And so it is good to find good friends that you can walk the road of life with. And you kind of get a sense when you find them. You just get a sense and you just get a hold of them and say, you're my friend. And I'm not into best friends, because I've known people say, you're my best friend, the next week. Now they're your best friend? Oh, okay. Well, so I don't have a best friend. I have all my friends are best friends. They're the best friends I can have. So, but I thank God for good friends that we can make it through life with. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? And so good to meet Brother Saylor. I don't know if they're going to be here this week, but good to make his acquaintance and appreciate what he had to say. And although some of those memories, most of those memories I did not share, it did take me back to the swamp cooler days. And we had a little building in the back of the church with a barrel, double barrel stove. Some of you don't know what that is. And we would have to go out in the middle of the church, put wood in it in winter. And we had a fan that would blow the heat under the pulpit or in the platform out to the congregation. That's how we heated the church. And if somebody wasn't there early to start a fire, you had a cold church. Back as the book said, the good old days, subtitle, they were terrible. So literally, I haven't read it, but I have it saved somewhere on one of my wish lists. The good old days, they were terrible. But thank God for bringing us through with great revival and good times and good memories, and here we are today. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to keep you too long, and I realize that and maybe I'm presuming or assuming, but I'm not worried about. I'm a bit of an interluder here tonight. We are. This is your time to celebrate. And we understand that we're here to celebrate with you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So we're glad that you're taking the time, because, you know, 30 years only happens once. And then it's 40 after that. So, but thank God. Are you glad to be in church tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the word of the Lord, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 7. Genesis 22 and verse 7. Praise the Lord. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. For now I know that thou fearest God. The book of Romans 8, chapter 28, verse, just three verses here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. All of this, if you will, the whole buffet of the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. God said, for whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Praise the Lord. And for a title tonight, I'm just going to preach for a little while, What God Presumes. Praise the Lord. What God presumes. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to try to be mindful of the time. And I know you have a long week ahead of you. And you've got many long weeks behind you. But try to do what we can do to minister and strengthen the church. Praise the Lord. What God presumes. Now, obviously, we are entering into a greatly debated topic. And whether you know it or not, and as proposed by some, Paul is not, he's not talking to the handpicked disciples or apostles of Jesus, because he opens Romans and he says to all that be in Rome, called to be saints. So he's not just talking to handpicked individuals. The seven churches of Asia, some of them were very, very large in number. So it wasn't just a closed, cloistered group that Paul was writing to when he wrote the epistles. Paul is showing us that what he's telling them applies to any person or any persons that were in the church or in the new church of that century, and also to us that is trying or is saying to be a saint. He's writing to all of them, everybody that's trying to be a saint, that wants to be a saint. And he's writing this setting of scripture in Romans to them. And so, you know, I know it's a bit of a different title. And if you know anything about the word presumption, I don't want to have any misunderstanding. We're going to cover some ground here tonight. But it is what I feel like God put in my heart some weeks back. And I begin to think about this in this context. We don't preach around a title. That's not it. But the thought came to me in studying the scripture and reading that God is making a presumption here. He's making a presumption. So I want to read the definition. I hope you bear with me tonight. I don't want to bore you, put you to sleep, but I want to lay some groundwork for what we're going to talk about. So the definition of presumption to which we are referring tonight is not, to be clear, we're not ascribing to God a human fault. Presumption, there is the word presumption in the Bible is talking about presumptuous sins, and it's talking about a human fault. But that is the second definition of our English word presumption. The word presume in its verb tense means to take or to suppose to be true or entitled to belief without examination or positive proof. Without examination or positive proof or on the strength of probability. Amen. To presume means to take or to suppose to be true or entitled to belief without examination or positive proof. And if you think about it, one of the things that makes the United States justice system unique in the world is that it presumes innocence. When we lose the presumption of innocence in our justice system, it will be a world that you do not want to live in. And without digressing too far, we are quickly approaching that. We are quickly approaching that. When social credit comes into play, and it's already here, amen, it may not be in its formal phase, but it is already here via social media and all the ganging up. But when social credit comes into play, you will be guilty whether or not you're guilty or not. And because of the public sentiment, you will lose the presumption of innocence. So the court system of the United States of America, the justice system, one of the three branches of government, goes through all the motions of trying a criminal, no matter the degree of overwhelming evidence. And it can be frustrating sometimes when we know that's the guy right there. We watched him do it. He's guilty. But the justice system goes through all the motions. And even when there's eyewitnesses to the crime, even when there's admission or sometimes, you know, we got to enter a plea deal. Don't get too far ahead of me. But there might be admission to guilt in the informal phase. But we could say, well, we have him on camera. There was 20 witnesses. Yet the court presumes innocence, and it approaches each and every citizen alleged. You know, they've got to say alleged. He allegedly did this. He allegedly did that. Because we don't want to undermine the presumption of innocence. And we want to act upon that presumption of innocence. Just as it would against the most clear and clean and law-abiding citizen. And one of the things that made what happened to President Trump so egregious to be impeached twice is that he was impeached formality only after he was impeached without evidence in the public view. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but they went through the formal stages and they found him not to be guilty of some of the things they already found him to be guilty of before he was ever tried of it. And the problem with that is that even some liberals or some Democrats or whatever party affiliation you want to ascribe Alan Dershowitz to, he's not considered a Republican conservative. He is a professor of judicial and constitutional law. He said, this is terrible. Because if they can do this to the president, if he can be guilty before he ever goes to court, what do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think happens in a communist nation, in a dictatorship? You know, one of the best and greatest rights you have as American citizens is your day in court. Your ability to stand up and your opportunity to say, Your Honor, I am not guilty of what I'm being accused of. And so we thank God for presumption is not necessarily just a bad thing. That the judicial system of our founding fathers that they gave us presumes our innocence. It presumes our innocence until the formalities of the court case have been completed and to be proven one way or the other. So that's why I want to get a good foundation under us so that we understand what it is that God is doing and what it is that He has given us. There is another hotly debated topic among some scholars. I don't know. I can guess, I think, tonight what the held view is, but there is little evidence or no evidence in my book, and if there is, it's very precarious for the doctrine of predestination. But some people believe in the doctrine of predestination, and what that is once saved, always saved. And so we have to understand where we stand on the doctrine of predestination. And the once saved, always saved is that there's people born that they'll be in heaven no matter what they do. And there's people born that they're going to hell no matter what they do. Likewise, you know, I want you to think about the implications. I remember one time somebody was cutting my hair and I heard that they were a Jehovah's Witness. I might have mentioned this before. And I asked them, just out of curiosity, so what do you believe? And they said, what do you mean, what do I believe? I said, I don't know, heaven, hell? They said, no. I said, you don't believe in heaven or hell? No, we don't. I said, oh, okay. I said, they said, we believe the dead know nothing. That when you die, that's it. And I said, wouldn't that be nice? I said, wouldn't that be nice? And they said, it is nice knowing you're not going to be tormented in hell forever. I said, well, that's not my plan. I didn't say that. I just zipped my lip. But what's your plan? I mean, what? And this is what I went away thinking. Well, why go to church then? Right. If it doesn't matter, if you're not going to go to hell, you're not going to go to heaven, and what you do has no implication on your eternal soul, what are you doing going to church? Just live it up. Behold, tomorrow we all die. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that's about as ridiculous as the doctrine of predestination in the sense that it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be saved, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to hell. It's an erroneous doctrine because it contradicts and fails to take into account several things, and one of them is other scriptures. Think of that. But the other one is the will of man. What you decide in your will plays a part in what happens to your life. God allows your will to have a say-so in your internal destiny. But Scripture said, 2 Peter chapter 20, I'm going to try to rush through some of this. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled there and overcome, the latter end is worse. Everybody say worse.
Worse.
Than the beginning. How can it be worse if it was already as bad as it was going to get? For it had been better. It had been better that they had not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned again to his own vomit, or turned to his vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Mark chapter 8 verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So where is the basis of the doctrine of predestination in the Scripture? If one got into the church and they escaped the pollutions of the world, God delivered them, God set them on their feet, now they're on the pathway to heaven, and they go back to the world, why is it worse? Why would it have been better that they never knew the way of righteousness? Amen. If it would have, wouldn't have mattered. But I'm going to tell you, it does matter. Every man's going to be judged for the deeds done in this life in his body. Every man. God is not a respecter of persons. Now, it is important to establish that, because I want to drive this home to us, that we're up against a lot of false doctrine that we may not even hear outright, but it is in Christian music. It is in the Christian world and the sentiment of the day. It's in their doctrine, and it translates into their speech and into their music. So another scripture said, 1 John chapter 3, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And I read a article one time that a man was literally, he'd been a Baptist all his life, and he went to he's writing this story about, I don't remember what the point was, but I think it was basically how he understood that the doctrine of predestination was very damning. And he was walking into a gay bar, and he said, and I didn't know that when I started reading the article, but, and he said, I guess this is where 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 comes in. Now you want to talk about rest the scriptures. What they mean by that is, if you've been born of God, anything you do is not sin. You cannot sin. You cannot sin. That's a doctrine that's in the denominational world today. But I'm telling you, that is false doctrine. If you can escape the pollution of the world and you can fall back into it, and it's worse than when you came out of it, that doesn't sound like once saved, always saved to me. One commentator, and I'm not a big fan of commentators, but one commentator said the phrase, and he cannot sin, is a wrong translation. It literally means, and he goes on, some very technical stuff here, but he said it should say, and he cannot go on sinning. He cannot go on sinning. Amen. Whoever is born of God should not and cannot go on sinning. If a believer could not sin, why did John write in the previous chapter, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not? If you can't sin, why is he telling us not to sin? And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see here that John's making a separation between the world and the church. He's not just a propitiation for your sins, but the sins of the whole world. So he's not talking to just the church or just the world. He says, my little children, I'm writing unto you that you sin not. I write unto you that your sins are forgiven. Chapter 12, verse 12 of chapter 2, that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. John is not talking to a general audience. He is speaking to these people, calling them little children. And he's saying, you've overcome the wicked one. These were people in the church. These were people in the church. These were believers. These were Christians. So one chapter later, John is not going to contradict himself and say you cannot sin, meaning you can do no wrong, like the spoiled child of the family. Everybody knows what that's like, right? Because he just got done saying, sin not. Overcome the wicked one. Overcome the enemy of your soul. So, if I can't sin, why do I need an advocate after my conversion? If I cannot sin, why would Paul say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Praise the Lord. I hope I'm not boring you tonight. Just ride with me for a little bit. What the scriptures is saying indeed is what Robertson's commentary does state, and that it can only mean you cannot go on sinning. Whosoever is born of God has got to cease their sinning. You've got to change your life. And so we've got to eliminate that, because unfortunately scriptures are rested and false doctrine is in the world. And I don't want to confuse our subject, because, you know, sometimes, well, anyway, I don't want to digress, so I'm going to stay focused here. We want to eliminate that as a potential confusion. Praise the Lord. So there are two definitions of presumption. And I read to you the second. But I'm going to read to you the first, the one we are not using. It means blind or headstrong confidence, unreasonable adventurousness, adventuring to undertake something without reasonable prospect of success or against the usual probabilities of safety, presumptuousness. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the willingness to believe without evidence, without a certain degree of evidence in a person. So what am I preaching about, teaching about, talking about tonight? Let's go back to our text and Abraham and our title, what God presumes. God said to Abraham, now I know.
Right.
Now I know. So let's think about that. God is saying, well, some would argue that this was an angel, that it applies to an angel, not God himself. But that's really inconsistent with the terminology, because the angel of the Lord usually means a theophany in the Old Testament, a manifestation, a representation of God himself. Also, a kind of anecdotal to that, angels are only messengers or examiners. You know, they got the watchers. They're only there to obey orders or to watch. They either bring a word or take a word back. They don't express their own opinions. Satan's the only angel that expresses his own opinion. They don't tell you what they think. They tell you what God thinks. That's why Paul said, whether it be me or an angel give you another doctrine, or any other person give you another doctrine than what we've delivered unto you, don't hear it. Because angels that give you another doctrine are of the devil. Because angels don't express their own opinion. I don't care. Moroni was not an angel. So therefore, God was saying himself, now I know. So let's talk about the nature of God for a moment. Does this mean the omniscience of God is suspended? That God doesn't fully have omniscience? That there are things that he does not know? That there are things that he is unaware of? Or things that he is uneducated or uninformed about? And I'm telling you, it does not. It does not mean that. God's nature is not suspended. He's still got all power. There's not a moment in time when he loses power. He's got all knowledge. There's not a moment in time when he loses knowledge. He is eternal. There's not a moment in time when he loses his eternal nature. So it means several things that are can be difficult for us to comprehend. But I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to focus on one of these. And I'm going to look back at our word here, presume. To take or suppose to be true or entitled to belief without examination or positive proof. That God, in his ability, could presume as a decision without the evidence beforehand. Remember, again, we talked about the criminal. You saw him commit the crime. You know they're guilty, but somebody else is accused. Somebody else is accused. So we got to go through the process of finding who is guilty. We assume and presume innocence of both parties, but we got to go through the process of to find out who is guilty and who is innocent. But the presumption is that both are innocent, even though we know one must be guilty. And we may know that as a matter of knowledge, but it has not yet been proven. It has not been entered into the court record as evidence. It has not been passed down as a sentence of absolute irrefutable proof without reasonable doubt. This is the way that it is. The book of Hebrews tells us by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, with the heirs with him of the same promise. A few verses down. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, There's that word. Hey man, you probably already know this, but next time you read through the Bible, read through it like a legal document, because that's what it is. Judgment day, judge, advocate, trial. It is a legal document. Abraham was brought to trial. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and that he had received. He had received Isaac. He had received him as a promise from God, his only begotten son. And so now we see the nature of Abraham, that Abraham is actually fulfilling this definition of presume. He is fulfilling this in what we better know as faith. Entitled to believe without evidence. The willingness to believe without positive proof. That Abraham himself is exemplifying this. Abraham presumed that God was true and his word was true. Abraham presumed that God's promise was true. As a matter of fact, he went so far, the scripture tells us that when God said to sacrifice Isaac, he took it all the way and he said, well, he came from death. Hey, you know, once I guess God's going to just raise him from the dead again. He put presumption in God's character of goodwill and faith. He believed God. He considered God to be entitled to belief without examination or positive proof. And so what begins to happen when humanity begins to presume God's credit worthiness, if you will, when humanity begins to presume that God is worthy to be believed without evidence and without positive proof and without long drawn out examination or God having to do this or that to show me that you are real and show me that you love me. When humanity begins to take that step, relationship begins to take place between God and man, because relationship is based on mutual implicit trust. You cannot have a relationship with somebody you do not trust. You cannot turn your back. You can't share things with somebody you do not trust. And so let's consider what God did in Abraham's court without the evidence to back it up. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. How did God know Abraham was going to pan out? He put all his eggs in the basket of Noah. And if Noah wouldn't have panned out, folks, we wouldn't be talking about it. How did God know? Oh, God knows everything. Yes, but you do have a will. Jesus, even Jesus had to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And I don't want to get into that, but even Jesus had to make the choice. He had to go through the process of laying the human will down at the altar of the will of God. How did God know that Abraham was going to come through? Oh, it's all going to work out. I read the end of the book. How did God know? How did God know when he called him away from his family, when he put confidence in him that he would obey? How did God know when he told him, go into this country, I'm going to give it to you as a heritage and a land? How did God know when he promised him a son in his old age? When he promised him that he was going to be the father of many nations? When he promised him that his son would be the ancestor to the Redeemer? He said here, he did say, I do know Abraham that he will command his children after him. I do know that about him. But God, understand, made a lot of promises. And if you will, just pardon the vernacular, God made a gamble on Abraham without ever really having the evidence. Because the evidence is the end of the story. The evidence is your life. The evidence is what happens in the end and in the interim. It's not what happens in the beginning. And so God made some promises to Abraham, and he fulfilled them without ever having the proof that he really needed to prove that Abraham was a worthy choice or Abraham was a good risk. But it wasn't until the promises were already fulfilled, or a good portion of them, that God finally had the proof that he needed to say, now I know. What was God saying? Now it's a matter of fact. Now it's a matter of record. What did God say concerning Job? I see you've been looking at Job. You've been, oh, you want to touch Job's life. You've been saying, boy, I'd like to get Job. Haven't you, devil? He said, yeah, I have. But he said, you put a hedge about him. Does Job fear you for not? God said he's a perfect man. He's upright in all his generations. He's going to do what's right. But there was no evidence. Do you understand? There was no evidence that when the going got rough that Job was going to pan out. But God had confidence in Job. I said God had confidence in Job. So what did God do? He let the devil try him. He let him go through some trials. He let him go through some tests. And Satan, the accuser of the brethren, continued to bring accusation back. And the second session, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give, amen, for himself. And God said, all right, but you can't kill him. And so God expressed confidence in Job again. He didn't have the proof. Now, God knows everything, but he didn't have the proof. But when it was all said and done, 30-some chapters later, God said, all right, in so many words, what do you got to say now, devil? It was the biggest, in Job's life, the biggest, I told you so. Hey, man, I told you he would be faithful. I told you he would serve me. I told you that he would do what was right. I told you he wouldn't curse me to my face. Some of you need to hang in there through the trial. Some of you need to wait till the end of the story. God presumed. Amen. I won't be much longer. God presumed. He took Abraham at his word. He took him at his word without examination or positive proof or the strength of probability. There were additional promises made that God strengthened after this trial. But God had already fully vested in Abraham before the proof. Before the proof. So I want to get to our point tonight. What does this say about God? More importantly, what does this say about how God deals with man? What this means to us and for us, among other things, is that God deals with humanity according to a system of trust. It is an economy. Everybody say economy. It is an economy. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the currency of God's economy. Nothing gets done in the spiritual, in the kingdom of God, without faith. Faith is the currency. It is the economy of God. And so God deals with humanity on an economy of trust. And I want you to think about something. In our initial phase of relationship, all we have is words. That's all we have. Just words. Just words. But then these words begin to coalesce around ideas and commitments which we make. And the idea is that we are a sinner and that God can and will save us. The idea is that we need to repent. And repentance initially is words. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like repentance. Every religion of the world does not have what we have today. Christianity is the only religion that solely depends upon the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of its founder. Muslims do not have repentance. There is no word for forgiveness. They don't know what it's like to be able to say to their God, I am sorry, I have sinned. Please forgive me and wipe away my sin. But forgiveness and it begins with repentance, and repentance begins with words. And so if God did not presume that we meant what we said when we repented, we wouldn't get the first base. But from the time that the words come out of your mouth, it might have been the 1,000th time that you said it. But when you say, God, I am sorry, God takes you at your word. What would it be like if God didn't out of his nature be willing to presume or to believe you when you said, God, I'm sorry, I want to make this right? It'd be pretty hard to repent, wouldn't it? And I don't know, we can go, we'll get to it. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I understand there's more to it, but understand what I'm saying, that God takes us at our word, because our relationship with God begins with just words. Now talk is cheap. Talk is cheap, but God believes what you're saying. He chooses to believe it. He chooses to accept it. And when we begin this journey, hey man, that's all we've got. It's just words. We haven't done any good thing in our life. And we come down the aisle and we kneel at an altar and we say, God, I'm a sinner and I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be made righteous and I want forgiven and I want to repent for all my sin. And God, in just a few minutes, you haven't got anything right. You haven't fixed anything. You haven't returned the stuff you stole. You haven't made restitution. You haven't apologized to anybody. But just in a few minutes, a sinner can receive forgiveness. And they can be talking in tongues filled with the Holy Ghost, because God takes them at their word. I understand that the standard's a little bit different. You know, if we have aught against our brother and we come to the altar and we remember, oh yeah, I got to make that right. God said, leave it. I'll hear you. But go fix that. Come back. I know you're well taught. I don't need to qualify everything, but I do feel like I need to sometimes. But God chooses to act toward us just as if everything we were saying were true. God presumes intent as the end result, and he acts upon it. He acts on it. God treats everyone that comes to him. What does that mean? What does that mean? God presumes intent as the end result, and he acts upon it. He doesn't sit back and say, well, prove it to me, then I'll believe you. But he acts upon it. Day by day, he treats everyone that comes to him with the same full palette of his benefits and his opportunities. God chooses to act towards sinners with no history of goodness, as if they were long-standing, faithful, and true saints. He gives them the same benefits, the same opportunities. So God predestinates, in a sense, from the beginning of your repentance. How many's ever flown? Most of you have flown, and you get that cheap ticket where you have to change airlines. Remember, you gotta, when you get to this airport, you gotta go over and check in with the other airline. And that used to be a thing. They don't do that much anymore. But it was always a good feeling when the attendant said to you, now listen, you're going to have to recheck in, but I've checked your bag all the way through. Because there have been times you had to fly. You got to go claim your bag and then go back and check in again. But I've checked your bag all the way through. You know what that means? She believes you're going to make it so much, she checked your bag through. And your bag's going there whether you go there or not. Hopefully, right? It's been the other way around a few times. But what am I doing? I'm predestining you to the place that you told me you want to go. You wanted to go so bad, you shelled out all them clams, hey man, to get there. And you showed up at the airport. I believe that you want to go. So I'm going to check you all the way through. I'm going to predestinate you to your destination. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that it's all what it needs to be when you arrive. What am I trying to tell you tonight? I know I've gotten a little complicated, but my intent is to try to lay the foundation so we can have a deeper appreciation of what it is that God does for us. When we tell God, God, I want to make it to heaven, God says, all right, I'm going to give you everything you need. Praise the Lord. If I can say this or not, say this to you tonight. The pastor may or may not know whether you're going to make it. They're just taking a risk. And I believe sometimes God can, you know, being God, he cannot consult his foreknowledge. And he treats you as if you're going to make it. Can you imagine if God said, no, you're not going to make it. I'm not helping you. Can you imagine there's some people that are not here tonight? That they had the opportunity to make it, but they're not here. But God gave them that opportunity. He gave them the Holy Ghost. He granted them repentance. He gave them water baptism, remission in the name of Jesus. He gave them healing. He gave them all kinds of things. He treated them as if they were already in heaven. It was their choice whether they wanted to make it or not. But it wasn't God's fault that they're not here tonight. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you that when you bend your knee and you pray to God and you say, God, I want to make it. God just takes you at your word. Amen. He just says, well, you know what, son? If you want to make it, I'm going to help you. You know what, daughter? If you want to make heaven your home, I'm going to give you everything that you need. God presumes you mean what you say, and he acts upon it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand tonight. He invests in you. He invests in you as if you're going to pay off. He blesses you as if you're always going to be faithful. He gives you the fullness of opportunities in his kingdom as if you had lived for him for 30 or 40 years. In short, God plans on you making it. God plans on you making it. I don't know how to say it any better. I wish I could, but God plans on you making it. I don't know if you plan on making it or not, but when you told God you wanted to make it, he planned on it. He said, angel, write up a new card. Put it on that plate at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They want to make it. Hallelujah. One of the greatest sorrows in heaven, if there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, one of the greatest sorrows in heaven is when the angels got to go remove that placard from the plate at the marriage supper. Say, well, I guess they changed their mind. But the point is that Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. I don't know what the devil's telling you, but I'm telling you, God is planning on you being there. Amen. God is presuming that you're going to be there on that day. He's planning on it. Praise God. Amen. You know, this week you've got the anniversary and you've also got the building dedication. It's going to be a great time. And I noticed the storeroom and lots of water and lots of pop. And we've done a lot of things around here. Well, I haven't done anything, but you folks have done a lot of things around here. Wouldn't it be terrible if nobody showed up? Now, they're not here yet, but they said they're going to be here. So you know what you did? You took them at their word. You planned on it. You had meetings. You practiced the choir. And you're just waiting for them to show up. Because they said, I'm going to be there, Pastor Hale. I'm going to be there. That's my plan. And so you centered your life in the last few weeks and this week around that. And you know what? They're not here yet. You don't have the proof, but you know them. You know them. You said, you know what? If they said they're going to be here, they're going to be here. They're going to be here. They're going to do everything in their power to be here. And so I'm going to plan on it. Hey, God's not, we're not any better than God. He's not less than us. The master's not less than the servant. You told God when you came to the altar, God, I'm going to be there. God said, all right, I'm going to plan on it. I'm going to plan on it. I'm going to plan on it. Hey, man, I know sometimes the devil plays tricks and games and tells you things. And I don't know if God loves you or not. Well, you're not this, you're not that, you're not the other thing. And I know we could go into Judgment Day and all of, you know, the great seat of white throne of judgment and all of that. But that's not the point tonight. The point is that God has taken you at your word, and he's presuming that you meant what you said. And you see where the devil begins to attack. He begins to attack this relationship where God's presuming that you meant what you said, but then he begins to attack it the other way. Or maybe God didn't mean what he said. He told me he loved me, but maybe he didn't mean what he said. He told me he was going to see me through, but maybe he didn't mean what he said. What is happening? Satan's beginning to attack your faith. He's beginning to attack that foundation of relationship with God. Amen. That currency by which everything in your spiritual life gets done. How did God know that he could trust Abraham? Because Abraham trusted him. Wherever you're at in your life tonight, I didn't anticipate that this would be the direction we'd go. But I feel in the Holy Ghost that somebody needs to recommit their confidence in God. Don't judge God by the moment. Presume he's got a good end in mind. God, you got good intentions. And so therefore the end's going to be great. Right now, it looks bad. Right now, and I say this in all respect, but right now, it may look like what the devil's telling you, that God's guilty. That God's left you, or he's forsaken you, or whatever it is that he tells people. And you've heard a lot of his junk. But you need to make up your mind. No, I presume God to be faithful. I presume God to be true. I presume God's promises to always be right. And so I don't need the evidence. I don't need the evidence. I don't have to wait until God proves himself to me. I'm going to believe him right now. No matter what happens. That's why Job was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I know that whatever God is doing, he's got a good purpose in mind. And I'm going to tell you, that does something to heaven. You hear me? When a saint of God going through a trial, because the Bible says that he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us to God and God to us. And when God hears, he's waiting. He's standing by watching Job. He's standing by watching Abraham. What's he going to do? And he's standing by watching us. What are they going to do? And when God sees a saint struggle through that heavy load of fear and unbelief and the trouble that's been put upon them by hell, and they make their way to the house of God, and they lift feeble hands and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I still trust you. I don't see the end from here, but I still trust. I want you to know, God, I know it's going to work out. Oh, heaven responds. Heaven responds. Said, son, I knew you could do it. I knew it. You see there, devil, I told you they wouldn't turn their back on me. I told you they wouldn't give up. I told you they would come through and they would be faithful. Oh, what a beautiful thing it is that God would have confidence in this old human flesh. But I'm thankful that God took us at our word. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. Let's come and thank God. Let's worship him. Let's make some commitments to trust the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful, God. You always fulfill your promises. God, you cannot lie. You cannot fail.
You said help would always come in time.
Thank you, Lord.
Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up. Take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. We'll show up, and he will take you through the promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy or the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. And he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come. come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered
a victory without
fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will take you through the fire again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered
a victory without
fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and He will
take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and he will take you through the fire again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.